Good to see you today. Thank you guys for coming out. A couple quick comments. If you want to get the tape of this and listen to 4.5 hours a second time, God bless you. Okay? Really, you need to go to the counseling class. It's in room Northern 4. Okay? You're going to get so much today that's going to be in so many different things. Really, what I've always enjoyed doing over the years, this is my, I think, maybe 7th or 8th CareNet to speak at, and usually we're always doing multiple workshops of some degree. I've been on the platform here with you guys, and always enjoy, appreciate CareNet so much and what they mean to all of us and to life-saving around the country. And just a number of the staff members, we go back and forth online all the time, so I kind of feel like they're family and friends. So what I've done over the years is when I come in to do a workshop, I always feel like I come in with a certain set of, okay, this is what I know. But for me to just share what I know, that might limit us just a little bit. So I try to bring in friends that are in the work from around the country to bring, you know, the scripture says that in a multitude of counselors, there is great wisdom. So if I was to just come here today and tell you what I knew, then you would have a very one-sided thing, because for two things. One is I am a man. Okay, so I have that point of view. Number two, I don't change my mind easily. Okay, and so we're going to bring in some other points of view. And I want to say this today, too. Your point of view is important today, too. Okay, you are going to bring some things to this seminar that will be great, will be awesome, and will be enlightening to Gordon and I, my cohort in crime today. There'll actually be 4 of us before it all ends today. My cohort in crime is Gordon Douglas. Gordon, I'm going to have you introduce yourself in a minute, so I'm not going to tell you that. We've got another friend of mine by the name of Paul Aldrich. In fact, what I want you to do, take out one of your 3x5 cards right now. Gordon, put your notebook down. Stand right there in the center. Right there in the center. Model for them, Gordon. Gordon, strike a pose. Write down what you know about Gordon. What do you know about Gordon right now from seeing him? What are your perceptions of Gordon? What's his background? Tell me, what kind of car does Gordon drive? What kind of car does Gordon drive? Take a wild guess at the car that Gordon drives. Put a guess on his age, okay? Put down Gordon's age, okay? Married or single. Put down married or single. If married, put down how many children you think he has. If not married, put down how many children you think he has. Come on. This is... all right. Movement is good. How you doing, sir? Good to see you. We'll get you some paperwork here. All right. Thank you. Make sure you have some 3x5 cards, too, there. Very important today. Let's do this. Let's, in our world, we have to work with all different people. Guess Gordon's denomination, his religious affiliation. Do you think he's Lutheran, Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Mennonite, Amish? He does have a little Amish look to him, doesn't he, going on there? And I didn't see any CDs in his car. What do you think that is? Because as I tell my son Chapman, perception is everything. All right, Gordon, you can sit down. Thank you very much. we're going to have fun today, okay? Fun, okay? I want you to know that. Know that usually when I am talking, I pastored for a while. It was not a long time, but it was almost 2.5 weeks that I served as a pastor. And no, I pastored a church for 3 years. not because I necessarily wanted to, but because I said that I would while they were looking for another pastor, and they decided that they wanted to keep me as a pastor and stopped looking. And finally, after 3 years, I elected someone from the pulpit and said, now he's coming on. And you say you're exaggerating that. Not too much, not too much. But I had a great time being a pastor, but I like to use humor as much as possible. So understand that today humor is going to be involved. We're going to laugh a little bit. We're going to have a good time today. You can't sit for 4.5 hours without a little bit of fun. You know what I'm saying? We might as well just wrap it up and go home. But we are going to learn some neat stuff today. And I believe with all of my heart that the information that I'm going to give you today, and Gordon, I believe this because I've taught this stuff in other places. Okay? I've taught this stuff. I go out and do board training for pregnancy centers, and I've taught some of these principles to boards around the country. And I believe with all of my heart that if you get a hold of what we're going to talk about today, it will change your financial bottom line. It will raise it. And it will change your client bottom line. It will raise it. And it will also help you eliminate the amounts of clients that you don't want in certain areas. And we all know what I'm talking about there. It will help you define which clients you want and how to raise that particular people group of clients. And that's what we're going to do today. I'm going to start off. We're going to have Gordon come around here.
Good morning. Good morning. It is a thrill. This is my 8th CareNet conference, I believe. Mike got me involved with the speaking at banquets probably in 1995, 96, when I was getting back into the world of Christian comedy. And he said, well, you're on the board of your pregnancy center. Why aren't you using your gifts to help your own center? And it actually led to the point where I resigned my church to do this somewhat full time, and recently even left something else because I love the ministry. I love what they do. And it's just my passion. We've been able to do maybe 20 workshops together. So honestly, I've learned as much here as I have in all the books that I've read. And we love questions and answers during break time. Both of us are comedians. We have a script. We have an outline. And that means absolutely nothing to a comedian. It's just there as a guide. We're going in a direction. But the whole idea of language, marketing, knowing that what we do really makes a difference is huge. Tom already prayed that one of the first things that says on my list is pray. If anyone needs wisdom, pray. We need wisdom. I mean, my goodness, people ask me questions all the time about ministry, about raising kids, about the pregnancy center. I've been on the board. I've been on the board since 1987. I did not know there were no term limits when I signed up. But it's a joy. I love the ministry and being involved there. So if you've got specific questions about your banquet, about advertising, about websites, we're going to do another workshop tomorrow. What are we focused on tomorrow? How to reach men. Men. Remember, just sorry, that was a little ADD thing. It kind of comes and goes. I've never been diagnosed ADD. I did go online, took a test. I quit. It was way too long. But it is fun. We need wisdom, and there's things that we're going to learn. So we did want to introduce each other, right? Just real quickly, can we do that? We'll start with me. I'd love to hear your perceptions, because and remember, I have very low self-esteem issues. I just had a birthday like last week. So where's the age grade? Who has me under 60, over 60? Under 60. That's good. Good.
Pick somebody out. They can read their
Okay. Alaska. Let's go with Alaska. Okay, you can team up. Read your go. Just go through the whole thing. I see.
Well, you're 56. You're married with three kids. You probably drive a truck, and you're evangelical.
Ooh, man.
Evangelical? No.
No. You.
That's too.
You're like. You're probably a believer.
That fits anywhere there. Okay, we get somebody else.
So this side, anybody? What denomination? Go ahead.
You're 53,
married with three kids, and you're a
Methodist. Interesting.
Yeah.
Why would you say that? I don't know.
Let's go this way.
Sure, sure.
Okay, so I put that you're married with three kids, which sounds like there's a theme.
Yeah.
I guess the oldest. And I put that you're reformed. And that you drive a GMT.
Reformed, yeah. No, it was predestined to be, right? So shall I just...
No.
You want more? Everybody knows she's smiling so innocently over here.
Yes.
Thank you.
55,
well, we're getting closer.
Lutheran,
yeah.
I think it's the hair. Doesn't he have Lutheran hair?
Yeah. Well, you,
that is Lutheran hair, if I've ever seen. Yeah. Every Lutheran pastor has had Lutheran hair. And yeah.
Yeah, well, I used to be Lutheran, but then my knees went bad, so I switched over. So you got part of that right.
No,
it's your guy's perceptions.
Sorry, I was just getting
settled.
Come on in.
Welcome. We're just in here. Look at that. We're like Benita. From Mississippi. From Mississippi. Yes. IPP. Double humpback. There we go. I've been there.
We're going to have a little fun right now, but guess what Gordon is, okay?
How old? How married? Yes. So you ready for truth or dare?
No, let's go.
He's going to read the card. That's
friendly. Okay, age 45.
Oh, thanks.
So you get two pieces of candy. Married, three children, they born Baptist. Okay. Neat, well dressed, and put that
online. Yeah, no, it's good. Any others? Yeah. They're guessing my age and
right.
Kids.
Did you do this? Oh, it's a Volvo. Oh, this young lady gave you a Volvo.
There we go. Say, keep my three kids safe.
A Methodist and a Honda Civic, 52, and married, and then you make it yours here. Minivan. Yeah.
There's.
Oh, and a Mini Cooper by night.
There's lots of room up here, girls. Just showing by looking at me, how old do you think I am? What do you think I drive? How many kids? But we're kind of just breaking ice and letting the people who got lost on the way here. You got yes.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
I had one of those one time. Yeah, years ago.
So now I get to introduce. Well, Paul Aldrich just walked into the room. The legendary Paul Aldrich, the Christian Entertainer of the Year. We're just doing some icebreakers, Paul. So, yes, well, age-wise, I just had my 61st birthday. So, yeah. I didn't reach puberty until I was 30, so I'm a late bloomer. So for those that put me younger, I appreciate that. Married 37 years last week. Got married, and we were told we couldn't have children. So we took in three boys from South Philadelphia. And that turned into six. That turned into nine. That turned into 12. That turned into 14. And then we took in two prisoners under house arrest, a father-in-law with a stroke, a brother-in-law with Down syndrome, and then God blessed us with five natural babies. So we have 19 kids. So we have a Prius, a Volvo, a minivan, and I drive a truck. So, and started comedy back in 1977, back in the days when there were three comedy clubs in the country, ventured out to Hollywood to make it big, was on Carol Burnett and Mike Douglas. They were my highlights in 1977, auditioned for American Bandstand with somebody named Ellen DeGeneres and Robin Williams. And guess who won? They won the audition. I won the better life. They have bigger houses. I have more fun. And so I look back and watch where God's led. It's been an amazing journey. So I did pastor. I actually went to a Institute of Jewish Studies for my schooling. And then I went to Philadelphia College of Bible. And then I went to Conservative Baptist Seminary of the East. And then I found out that there were three members of the Trinity and became a Bapticostal. So I have all the fun and the doctrine. I've got the two together, right? So So that's kind of where I'm coming from. I did resign my church. It's 10 years ago this month. I'm still on staff. I just don't take a salary, but this has become my main ministry, going out using what I call hilarity for charity, raising money for missions, particularly pro-life centers, adoption centers, special needs groups, anybody that is serving the Lord. But really, over half my bookings are for pro-life organizations. I'm heading to Alaska February 11th. Just got signed this week for Anchorage Right to Life. And I'm in Cummings, Georgia next week, I think. So I got 12 states the next 8 weeks. And it's banquet season kicks off. And I love it. I just love it. So that's me. But you, in maybe one sentence, where you are, how long you've been in the ministry, what your role is. Well, how many are executive directors here? Just out of curiosity. Executive directors. Okay. Oh, we have it. So different ones. What's it? Benita's from Mississippi. Give us a little, just one sentence, two sentences.
Save a life of the Pearl River area, Picayune, Mississippi. I've been a director for 2 years. I've been in ministry for 15 years.
Excellent.
You know, Save a Life is a wonderful kind of a branding of work right down there. I believe your initial center is in the Mobile, Alabama area. Is that where it is? Is that what I'm thinking, Save a Life, right there?
Okay,
that's right. But there's a couple of Save a Lifes in the South that we've worked with. A wonderful organization, wonderful people. Thank
Actually,
you.
Actually, I'm trying to change our name.
Amen.
I'm trying to get my board on board to change the name, because if I'm thinking abortion-minded and I see a sign that says Save a Life, I'm not coming.
There goes page 3 and 4, Mike, right there. Just throw those. We're going
to
talk about branding.
I'll ask you to slide up and take a microphone here a little bit. No. Okay, go on.
So, over here. Two weeks. And you got the 2 weeks.
What did you do for Habitat?
I was the executive director of an affiliate that builds about 40,000 a year, and then I kind of took over the Habitat Center and started a nonprofit called Community One, which branched more into the Community One.
And now you're development director. That's what I heard.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Sorry.
Super. And what part of the country did I miss that?
Kentucky.
In Kentucky. I'm going to Paducah in 2 weeks, so I'm going to come down your way. Mike, part of his ministry, and I've been down there 4 years in a row, missed this year, builds a lot of houses down in the DR. We have been on a lot of hot roofs at 130-degree weather and doing some stuff down there. And my daughter has, two of my daughters have gone down. My youngest is going to go down and wants to stay full time. She's going to go down as an intern next summer, and so I'm excited about that. Let's just work our way down. New York.
For 9 years, I was a Christian radio DJ, and they fired me because I wanted to go.
Stop playing Amy Grant.
Anyways, so I kind of fell into becoming executive director of the Pregnancy Support Center in Ulster County, and we are officially announcing our new name change at our banquet.
Don't tell us what it is yet.
Yeah. Save that, because we're gonna do. Super. Well, thank you. Radio, okay. I noticed that over the years, of all the executive directors, nobody ever sought that position. Is that kind of, it's always seen that God kind of brought them in the back door, different things. It's amazing to me. Same with me as a pastor. It's like the last thing.
Pursued it as a career fair offered.
Yeah.
That's not one of the biggies.
So go ahead. Excellent. Yes, ma'am?
I'm Crystal Thompson, and I'm from the Find Out Free Pregnancy Center in Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm the office manager, and I lead the post-abortion program.
Okay, thank you. Very good. And we've got our Alaska girls back there, but go ahead.
I'm Adonna Stevens, and I'm from Homer, Alaska. And I just accepted the director position like a week and a half ago. I've only been in there a week, but I did volunteer for 7 years in Missouri and Arkansas. And so I'm just getting my feet wet.
And your partner? Well, welcome to Florida. Talking about culture shock, right? Is that big? Yes, ma'am. Yay!
I'm on the board for about 4 years and I'm a counselor for 5.
Excellent. I believe I've been there twice, right? At Lee Heighton. Yeah, we've done a couple things there.
I sure have. And I'm the executive director of the Air Pregnancy Center in Lewisburg, Tennessee. And I have a job as a realtor. But I've been with the Pregnancy Center for 8 years. This is something I did not speak either about knowing about.
Amen. 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 I said, we'll stay at the back here, just kind of work away. No, yeah, that would be you. Don't, yeah, that would be you.
Okay, that's how my life goes.
Yes.
I'm Melissa Bocino. I'm not a director or anything. I kind of fell into myself. I was a director of a program with elderly people. I resigned that position and started volunteering.
That's very important. We'll talk about the self-esteem issues later, but not. That's very good stuff. Yes, ma'am. So what kind of specialists, what kind of programs are we doing? Yeah.
Just like baby bottle container or graphic stuff.
Okay. Yes. So you were a three-headed team here? Excellent.
Yeah. And well.
Okay. Yes, sir. So a lot of new folks, a lot of new folks here. And then our special.
Oh, I'm Taylor Darrow. I'm from Lawrence, Kansas, Pregnancy Care Center there. It's right by KU, Kansas University. And I've been volunteering for over 12 years. I retired from my corporate job, looking for something to do, fell into it. And now I've been there nearly 13 years. I counsel, I run the boutique, and whatever.
Yeah.
From Dayton, Tennessee, Women's Care Center, and I started volunteering about 11 years ago, but I've been full-time office administrator for 2 years.
Excellent, excellent. So just out of curiosity, we have another new one. How many have been to any of our workshops before with Mike or Paul or myself? Okay, so several. So we're going to kind of cover a whole realm here. I think we were getting to know each other and also waiting in case some people got lost. We're going to dig right into it in just a moment. So, well, thank you. I love to hear testimonies. We go to conferences on doing comedy from time to time. And I found, you can learn a lot at conferences, but sometimes some of the greatest wisdom is found just talking amongst your peers and sharing what you're going through in a similar struggles. And both of these guys have had great impacts. We are part of the Laugh for Life team. We have a booth back there. We not only speak at banquets, but we are really encouraging folks the last couple of years to do another event 6 months prior to your banquet, a comedy night, where we call it a friend-raising event. You will make some money, but it's half the work of a banquet, but you want to bring in people who wouldn't normally come to a banquet. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But Mike's done three for my center over the last 15 years. Paul just did his second one last year. I think he was there in 2006 and come back. We get several hundred people come to a comedy show that have never heard of our center. So it really introduces them to what we do, and we have a good time, and we have a very low-pressure offering for people who take part. And it's just an amazing thing. We've done, I think this is our 13th or 14th year at my center doing that. So we're trying to spread that idea of having other avenues of revenue besides a walk and a banquet. And the baby bottles, right, they're always good, too, but there are things you can do, and raising new donors is a big deal for that. So, You know, Mike gave out the 3x5 cards. I know he's there with the 3x5 cards, but it gave me a flashback. Now, I just went to my 40th high school reunion. Thank you for those who had me so much younger, about 40 high years at high school.
I thought they were insulting you. I didn't realize you're the only person I know.
I was preaching last week. I was preaching on Joshua 23. They gave me the text at the church, and It's Joshua's farewell speech. He gathers the leaders. It's his last words. And he says three times in the text, I am old and going the way of all the earth. I am old and going the way of all the earth. And it's important. These are his final words. It's great. But then I looked at and I thought, I'm the oldest guy in this church. And it was humbling. I went to my 40th reunion. Things change in 40 years, don't they?
Yeah.
Like the homecoming queen. Time has not been kind. I looked at all the girls who wouldn't date me in high school. I said, look what you gave up. And they still have. But they did. We filled out a form, what we're doing now, how many times we've been married. We gave out an award for how many times we've been married. We had a guy married 7 times. As a pastor, that breaks my heart. As a comedian, I'm thinking, at what point do you start to think, maybe the problem's not her? I mean, really. 0 for 7? And he was hitting on a girl that night, which is just totally ironic. But when I got there, they said, oh, Gordon, we see on your sheet here that you're a pastor now. Would you mind saying the blessing before the meal? One of our teachers, coaches, had just passed that week, and they wanted me to announce that, have a moment of silence and pray. What an opportunity. So they announced, folks, have your seats. We're going to have our meal. We're going to have Reverend Gordon Douglas ask the blessing. And one of the girls in my class, Karen DeLaver, she yells, Gordon's a blankety-blank pastor. He used to be the most foul-mouthed, obnoxious, and she started screaming. And it's like, and I said, wow, I forget, you know, I found out Jesus loves me and died for me in 1975, and my life changed, and I forget, I am not who I used to be. But I would never have thought I would end up in the ministry. I'm a brand new pastor, brand new married, I'm skipping over a lot of my background stuff, but you have to know about my mother-in-law. I don't bust on my mother-in-law, I don't do mother-in-law jokes, except you have to know she was a rather large woman. If she was standing next to me, we would look like the number 10. Her favorite word was Twinkie. I'm just saying. And sadly, I mean, this is kind of funny, but it's kind of sad. She died 2 years after we got married, 46 years of age. We go over, we go, oh my goodness, I've never been, my dad, being a medic in Korea, never took us to a funeral. He wanted to avoid. So this was like my first dead person, and it's my mother-in-law, and we cried, and we grieved, and we called, and 4, 5, 6, finally the ambulance crew comes, and they're going to take her away. They can't get her off the bed. So they said, can you guys come in and give us a hand? True story. 6 of us go in and grab the body bag, and we took about 3 steps, and we dropped her. And without thinking, I said, oh, this is dead weight. And these ambulance crew start laughing and laughing, like, you're really funny. You ought to be a comedian. It's like, we pick her, we get her over to the steps, and her head hits the wall. And I was like, oh, did that hurt? They put her down and said, she doesn't feel anything, and she can't hear you. You don't talk to her, like, duh. Then I start looking at all those steps, and I thought, we can save a lot of work here. It's just the way my mind works. But we go through all this stuff. I've got 3 days to prepare a message, my first funeral message. I'm a brand new pastor. I didn't know what I was doing. I got pastor's handbooks. I talked. And this guy said, you write out your prayer. You don't want to mess it up. You don't want to get nervous because I talk fast. I get nervous. So I wrote out my prayer on 3x5 cards. And I put it in my Bible. And really, I wanted my family to hear the gospel. I wanted them to know how Jesus changed my life. I wanted to. And all I did was just cry. I just wept through the whole sermon. And we get up to the graveside, which was a long ride up to the family plot up in the. And everyone gathers under the little tent. And I'm standing in front of the whole. Everyone's looking at me like, oh, would you bow your heads for a word of prayer? And everyone closed their eyes and bowed their head. And I opened my Bible so I could read this beautiful prayer I took right out of a book, committing the eternal soul into the loving arms of the dearly. Oh, it's just gorgeous language. But when their eyes were closed and I opened my Bible, all my cards fell out into the grave. They were like leaves just fluttering. And everyone's waiting for this prayer. And I started to laugh. And I have a weird laugh. Like, I can't breathe, and I'm laughing and gasping, and one of those dear aunts, you know, the aunts that shave off their eyebrows and draw them back on. She's like, oh, he loved her so much. I'm crying. And my notes are in the bottom of the grave. So what do? I just read. I had the Bible open. So in the beginning, basically I shared her testimony, how she had come to know Jesus as her Savior about 6 months before, watching a Billy Graham thing at 2 o'clock in the morning. She wrote in her Bible, October 19th, 1983, I prayed this prayer. And though she raised a special needs son and taught Sunday school and did all that stuff, I use that at the end of some of my comedy shows to share. So you're going to have a chance to write down some things, but we are going to have some fun. We're not here to plug our speaking and do stuff. We really are pastors at heart, and Minister Paul is on the board of his center in Nashville. I mean, we love this ministry, and we want to share stuff that's really helped us, things that will really help you deal with the biggest problems, how to raise money more effectively, how to reach out to those clients, how to speak to your board. How do you speak this language thing? So I'm going to turn it back over to Mike, and we're going to get into like 5 main points. We'll have a bathroom break or two along the way. Please, if you have questions, stop us. We'll repeat it for those that are recording. We want it to be fun, but we want this to change and transform your ministry. And we have applied some of these principles. In fact, my director, she's not here, but she should be rolling around the halls here and being involved. I mean, everything that we learn here at CareNet in general, but especially these seminars, it has made a difference for us, and I know it will for you too. So welcome Mike back up, and we'll continue.
Great. Gordon, give me that microphone there, and we will have a great time today. You know, I believe that we need to ask for wisdom, because the Bible says that if anyone lacks wisdom, we ask of God, and He brings it to us. And I know we've prayed today, but could we just bow our heads for just a second? And would you just quietly say, God, would you bring wisdom that will benefit our center today? Go ahead, do that. Now, Father, we believe your word is true, and we stand on that this morning. And we expect that you will deliver beyond what any of the speakers can do. We'll trust you for that, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Our mission today is to teach you how to successfully sell in the language of any audience. Whether you are a development director or an executive director or somewhere in between doing special events. Over there, I think it's Kristen who's the special events. Your job is to sell who you are and what you do. Most sales fail because they fail to take into consideration their audience. You're bringing up that name thing. It's a wonderful concept of that. And you brought it up, so I'm not being picky with this at all. And thank you for bringing that up. Why would a woman who wants to have an abortion, if she had anything over a 2-digit IQ, call an organization called Save a Life? A board that can't see that really needs to be replaced in my book. Did you get that on tape? I hope so. Okay? You see what I'm saying? Now, let me say, I dealt with this in my... Mike, you're just out there talking. No, I dealt with this in my very own town. Okay? My very own hometown. I dealt with this. For years, I talked to them from a perspective of a guy who was selling things, okay? Selling things. As a Christian speaker, my job is to raise money for people. My job is to raise money for you. People say that I'm pretty good at it. I greatly owe what I know about it to some wonderful folks who you probably couldn't afford to have come and speak at your banquet, who took an interest in me, Ken Davis, one of them, years ago, and taught me how to connect with Christian audiences. But when you look at that and you say, and let me tell you, you're not alone. We were New Life Pregnancy Services. That was the name of our in our hometown. I'm not going to tell you where that was, okay? Because I don't want to be picky. They do great now, okay? They've changed their name. But and I would sit around with the original director, and she would go, "I just don't understand. We're in the middle of three colleges. I believe you're in the middle of colleges right there in Oregon, right? Two colleges right there in Oregon, and we should be seeing a greater amount of people. Don't understand why they're not coming in. It's because we're not speaking their language." Kirk Walden and I were carrying on a conversation earlier this week, Tom, about what you and I were talking about before. I won't muddy the issue with that. And our takeaway today, he emailed me today, and I closed my last email to him, and I said, "Why does it seem to me that often it's the Christian people who spend most of their time shooting themselves in the foot?" One line came back. That's the closing for almost everything I see right there. And those of us who, according to Scripture, if we lack wisdom, we need to ask God for it. But oftentimes we're so busy being holy that we think that somehow wisdom isn't holy. We think that somehow being wise and smart isn't holy. I tell you what, I think some of us, nobody here, you're here because you want to get beyond that. But I have met people that were just a little bit more holy than God. Have you ever met people like that? You know, because I'm going to take our outline today and you're going to see at the end of this, you're going to go, "Wow, that was the way Jesus did things." And I want to say, yes, the problem is most of us are more holy than Jesus. We're a lot more afraid than Jesus was. I'm sorry, I'm bringing that back to Tom. Tom and I will have a private discussion during the program today while you guys are thinking about other things. But today I want to help you learn to think and talk in the language of your people. Now, I'm not talking about using foul language. Of course, I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying, how are we communicating? You could go back to the good old Tower of Babel. And you'd realize back in that biblical time, here we've got this record in Scripture where God confounds the languages. And what did the confoundity? What would the word be? What would be the proper?
Close enough.
Right. You know what I'm talking about. That's right. What do I know about language? I've only written 10 books. I hire an editor. Work with me. Okay. Here's the deal. What did the confoundation? I need that word. You know what I'm talking about. The confounding of the language. The confound. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. What did the confounding of the languages cause? It caused their progress to stop. You can learn a lot in the Bible from good or bad things happening. Okay? It doesn't. You can see it. You can dissect it from there. And so I believe that right now what is stopping a lot of our success in our movement is that we are being outsold by the competition. Oh, by the way, that threefold brochure, ma'am, you have just came in, has nothing to do with our program today. That's just a freebie. By the way, we haven't met you. We've met everybody. Kaylee, how you doing? Kaylee, good to see you, Kaylee. And where are you from, Kaylee?
Iowa.
We have an Iowa, the corn state, right? I was in Missouri, but it's close to Iowa. Kaylee, what do you do in Iowa? Your development director. Excellent. Very good. At a pregnancy resource center. And how long have you been there? Six. Oh, another newbie. Welcome. We're using 3x5 cards today, Kaylee. That's what we're going to be using once we get into the, we're kind of setting it up for what we're going to talk about today. We're in no hurry today, as you know. Folks, have you heard this said, a picture is worth 1,000 words? I want to tell you today that a picture is worth 1,000 words. 1,000 words is worth $1,000, if they're the right words. And a picture with 1,000 good words is worth $1 million. Every night when I close and I wrap up, And I'm doing my ask. I do the ask. I think that, speakers who don't do your ask are doing you a disservice. Okay? Why would you have a professional speaker come in and then go, have you ever heard Billy Graham? He preaches the sermon and he talks about people coming to the Lord and the straight way and the broad way that leads to destruction. And then he says, you know, now it's time for the invitation and I'd like just somebody you don't know to come up and give it. No. Okay, sorry, a little personal note there. What I do when I close, every night when I close, I tell them that I tell them how to spell thousand. As you're pulling out your checks, I want you to remember thousand is spelled T-H-O-U-S-A-N-D. And I say a million is spelled M-I-L-L-I-O-N. But you know what? You have not because you ask not. I remember a couple of years ago, I was worried, does anybody remember Dr. E.V. Hill? Anybody remember Dr. Hill? Okay, a wonderful black pastor. I was in California doing a program, a fundraiser for a place called the Dream Center. I was there along with another fellow, and I believe his name is Tony Campolo. You might have heard of that name. And Hill gets up and speaks, and he comes, sits down next to me. We'd worked together before. We actually did a revival together in Sop Choppy, Florida. Woo! And I'll never forget that particular one. And I'll tell you guys about that later. And so, he had spoken. Now Campolo's up there speaking. I'm going to come up, do some comedy, ask people to give money. Dr. Hill leans over to me, and he goes, Williams? I said, yes, sir. He goes, I was at a fundraiser the other day. You remember, if you remember his voice, you remember this, how he's talking. The fundraiser the other day. And the old boy giving the fundraiser said, I want everybody in the room to take out your checkbook and write out a check for $1,000. Williams, you got that kind of faith today to ask these people to write out a check for $1,000? I said, Brother Hill, I got a lot more faith than that. I'm going to ask everybody in the room today to take out their checkbook and hand it to the person on their left. He said, you ain't right, boy. You ain't right. Okay. We're going to learn how to ask today. Who are we? I'm Mike Williams. I love doing what I do. I get to help people laugh and give money to save lives. Am I directly involved in saving lives in the Dominican Republic? Yes. But on this side, I'm involved with about 80 of you every year helping you raise your funds. I love that. I love to have laughing people give. You know, I believe laughing people give more, and I believe it's spiritual. The Bible says God loves a cheerful, hilarious giver. We try. I tell you, crying people give you money to make the pain go away. Joyful people want to join you and become monthly givers. That's your difference. Sad programs produce one-time gifts. Happy programs produce monthly gifts. That's just a freebie. I'm just throwing that in. We aren't even to the talk yet. We still got to get there. I'm going back because Gordon forgot four of those things here. That's okay. I noticed that, Gordon. It's all right. It's all right. We've got one of our other guys has joined us today. And before we do our outline... No. I'm going to save this. I'm not going to talk about you yet. I want you to, on one of your cards in front of you, I want you to write this word. I want you to write it big across the top so you can see it right there. I'm going to pretend that this is my 3x5 card so you can see it. And I'm going to write the word invisible ink. No, I'm going to write the word intentional. Intentional. Okay? There we go. Yeah, here, I'll just use this, a dry erase marker board right up here. It'll be great. I asked for a dry erase marker board. That's what I got. Okay. Okay. Intentional. Okay. Intentional. Put it right up there in front of you. Make a little spot. Don't worry about the threefold thing. Don't worry about this. Put this in your brochure bag or something like this. Put it off to the side. Don't worry about your workshop evaluation. Unless you'd like to fill it out right now, in that case, check it all excellent and then sign it, okay? But I want you to put right up in front of you, right up in the middle, I want you to put that word intentional. I did a radio interview, a podcast interview with Ken Davis, a well-known speaker. How many of you have heard of Ken Davis? Okay, two people. Good, good, good. More people heard of Chuck Frank, who I went to high school with. But anyway, Ken Davis had me. He does a sales seminar that you pay to get involved in it. And he asked me to come on and do a half an hour program with him. And he said, Mike, I want you to talk about using humor in your speeches. I said, okay, that's going to be a toughie. You should have called Gordon. I said, really, I said, my point that I want to get across to your people is the phrase intentional. Intentional in everything that we do. Why are we doing what we do? I see so many people who are just random acts. I meet pregnancy centers who are random acts. Their websites are random acts. Their sign is a random act. It was great when a group of wonderful Christian people got together 20 years ago. Why is it that the church has to always be 20 years behind? Isn't that a shame? We should be the cutting edge. We have God on our side, the creator of everything that is, and yet we like to be 20 years behind
because it seems more spiritual, Brother Williams.
Doesn't seem spiritual to me. It seems devilish to me. It seems like we've been deceived. We're so afraid. We're so afraid. Again, fear. There we go. Back to that fear point. We're so afraid that we might offend one of the faithful who really aren't as faithful as we think they are, that we don't really hit our target market. We have a 5-point outline today. Take out one of your other cards. I'm going to have you write 5 things on those cards, on that card. That's all you're going to put on that card, just these 5 things. Then you're going to take another card, and we're going to break down each one of these. I like to use cards. That way, in case you're ever at a funeral, you can drop them in and have a good laugh.
I'm going to try that.
You have to. It'd be great just for nothing more than the story value.
Yeah, obedient. I learn. I come to your seminars. I take it.
You're a good man. Hush up. I'm going to introduce you in a minute, okay? You know what? Somebody asked me the other day, a board asked me. Now, don't you be offended if you're an executive director. But somebody asked me the other day, they were getting ready to start a new pregnancy center. And they said, where should we find a good executive director? And I said, stop. Quit trying to find an executive director. Maybe the first thing you need is a development director. Why do I say that? Because I don't like executive directors? No. But I know that the truth of the matter is what a board wants is to find somebody who will pay the bills. But they hire an executive director. Okay? They hire someone to oversee the work of the ministry. And then they go, oh, now let's push them into becoming the bill payer. You follow what I'm saying? And you go, and why do they clash? Why do the boards clash and why do they fight and why don't they get along? It's because they're wanting something more out of you. It's kind of like the man who marries the woman thinking the woman is going to complete their life. And then they get married and then they're still unhappy and they go, but you were supposed to be my completer. Okay, no, you had unrealistic expectations of what marriage would bring. If you're married, you know what I'm talking about, okay? And I've been married 30 years consecutively, Gordon, okay? And so we got to go back this year to the same place. I got to take my wife to the same restaurant that I proposed to her at 30 years ago. And that Burger King is still open right there in Lakeland. And so, and I said, baby, how about another 30 years? And she looked at me with all seriousness. She looked at me and she said, let's just take it 10 at a time. Okay. And that kind of hurt me. That kind of hurt. Okay. There are 5 keys to successfully communicating with any group. We're going to look at the 5 today. By success, I mean conveying a message that demands a response and having that ask responded to in a way that you feel is correct. 5 things we're going to write. The 5 K's. Know your own mission. Yeah, the K is a silent one. The 5 silent K's. That's it. I use 5 silent K's. Of... What's that? Know your mission. Know your audience. Know your specific message. Know how to close. And know where to find your audience. Once we identify these five things, somebody stand up, tell me what you think of number four. Anyone? Know your own mission. Number one, know your mission. Know your own mission. Number two, know your audience. Number three, know your specific message. Number four, know how to close. And know where to find your audience. You can know your message, your audience, your specific message. You can know how to close if you can't find the people you're looking for. It's kind of like a fly fisherman that trying to think of a state that doesn't have water in it. That goes to a state that doesn't have water in it. Yeah, that's what that's what you're like. Exactly like that.
So is there a state that doesn't have any water?
Work with me.
Okay.
Global warning. Give me time. Okay. Once we identify each of these, we will weave them together today in how to speak to different groups within your organization's reach. Some of you will say, Mike, this is a sales seminar, how to sell your product. Yes, all evangelism is, but it's more. It's specifically about how to sell and reach your clients. And I believe that when you get a hold of this, you will see more clients and more donors. In fact, I believe in this so much that I guarantee it. Because I have taught this, you guys know this, I have taught this in portions of it to boards across the country. I do board training. And so we teach this, and they'll get a hold of one or two of these, and all of a sudden they'll see their numbers go up. And you're saying, that, Mike, does my board need training? Well, I got a quick test for you. Quick test. We'll just have a little fun with this. We got 4.5 hours. Come on, we can take a nap in the middle of this, okay? Do your board members recruit 2 major donors every year? Raise your hand if they do. Okay? Have you prepared your resignation letter more than twice this year? Do your board members fill at least 2 tables with real donors at every banquet? I only see that maybe 1% of the time. Maybe 1% of the time. Okay. Have you ever offered to trade a board member to another PRC for a load of diapers? Okay. Yeah. Does every board member make visits to your potential donors? Have you ever looked at the board and wondered if God was angry at you for something? Are your board members making community presentations for your funding? Are you reaching more abortion-minded clients than you want to reach? Do you struggle to have enough members present to have a meeting that will equal a quorum? You know what I'm talking about, that makes you a legal meeting. Did you ever mumble, "Just wait till the judgment," under your breath at a meeting? Okay. Did you ever secretly wish the demise upon a board member? If you answered yes or no to any of the above questions, get some help. But anyway, okay, I know what you're dealing with. I know what you're going through. And we've got to get out and we've got to learn how to sell. And I know you're going, and I hear your heart. I know you're saying, Mike, I got into this because I wanted to save the lives of babies. I wanted to save the lives of children. And now all of a sudden you're thrust into executive director. What's your role, Lindy?
I'm client services.
Client services director. And you're, where you're at? Lexington, Kentucky. Great place. I love Lexington, Kentucky. Right there, Man of War Boulevard, right there at the airport. I know where it is. Know where it is well. Good to see you. Good to see you. Have you met everybody right there? This is everybody. This is our friends today, our little club today. And you've been thrust into this, and you said, I just wanted to save babies. And then all of a sudden, they're going, no. You're going to be a fundraiser. You're going to be a fundraiser. So what we're going to try to do today is help you, give you some, because here's the deal. Whether you like it or not, you're stuck with that. If you're a development director, you came in, you know that, okay? Okay, special events director, come on, let's be honest with you. That means special fundraiser, Okay? That's what it means. All right? Okay? And but if you're wherever you're at, you need to learn how to sell. And if you're a client services director, what we're going to do with this is we're going to help you see how you can bring in more of the clients that you desire. So this is going to be across the board because the principles work either way. Okay? Side story. I've seen your print work. I've seen what your center has to advertise you. Not individually, but I've seen it across the country. I have now been at, I think Gloria said the count was up near 700 pregnancy resource centers that I've had been some way involved with over the years. Okay, that's a lot of dry chicken and cold green beans. Okay, seriously, put candles on your table so people can warm up their meat. I'm just saying, do it for the people. If nothing else, do it for the people. Okay, it'll make happier eaters. Last week in Missouri, we thought we had fondue. But I've seen your print work. I've seen your websites, and they're failing. Have you seen our new trifold brochure? Trifold brochure? What was that, 1980? Is that time anybody used a trifold brochure? How many of you have trifold brochures? Yeah, I saw you looking at each other right there. Okay, it's all right, but think about it. Isn't that really so? 1980? Okay. Okay. Well, you're 90s. Some people in the 90s. You know. Gordon still got ties he bought in the 90s. Okay. And CBS this morning, I wrote it down. This year, this month, third day, they were doing a story on how the FCC and the FTC, the florists, I think, is looking into ads that are being placed on Facebook, Snapchat, and Twitter that do not look like ads. They look like unpaid posts. Mike, what do you mean? It means that you saw your favorite star and they just happened to be reading this book. Are you with me? They happened to be reading this book. And because of their reading, they didn't even say they were reading the book. They were just showed you the book. And because they showed you that they were reading the book, book sales shot up. And your favorite star that you follow on Twitter was getting paid by the book company. We've seen it in movies for years. Product placement. Hey, remember Wayne's World? How many of you remember seeing Wayne's World? Remember? Okay, a couple of you are honest there. All right, love you guys. Okay, remember they were joking about Domino's Pizza, they had the Coca-Cola, and they were all dressed up with that? I wrote it down here when we started. Maybe I did. 2006. I got together with a fella by the name of Per Heisted. Per holds the Guinness Book of World Records for staying outdoors for the most number of nights in history. Okay? Yeah, I know. He'd love to meet him. He's still single. He's outside right now. He won't come in. Per owns a company called Iztech. Iztech is a consultant firm for folks like American Express. Have you heard of them? Husqvarna. At the time, Per and I got together and formed a little company called Professional Home Videos. And in 2006, when YouTube was still in its infancy, what we realized was that people, instead of going to what they used to go to, an organization called Consumer Reports. Remember Consumer Reports, Consumer Digest? If you were looking for a new stereo, you'd go to Consumer Reports. And you go, what is consumer? This is an independent. But what happened when the video craze came in, and now all of a sudden, the whole video, everything could be right there on your phone. We realized that people weren't buying the Consumer Reports magazine anymore, and they weren't buying the connection to Consumer Reports to pay because they felt that they could get free and better and more neutral reports by going online because everybody has a little bit of voyeur in them. And at that time, anybody with a camera, they would buy a new camera and they would take their old camera, take pictures of them unboxing it and showing you how it worked. How many of you have learned how to do something from YouTube? Anybody? Okay. Yeah. I mean, you have trouble with your car. You type it into YouTube and there'll be somebody going, yeah, I had that same problem you did back then. Yeah. And this is what I kicked it in the right front fender and then I shoved a diaper up the muffler and boom, it was amazing. You know, and I get my daughter to work on it for you tomorrow. So you know what I'm talking about. We formed this company called Professional Home Videos. Our first client was a client that I saw on television last night called the Commando Kamado, and it's one of these big grills. You see those big ceramic grills, but this grill is made by Art Linkletter's grandson. And these grills cost, the lowest price one is $7,000 each. They weigh about 400 pounds, and he lines them with the same material that they line nuclear reactors with. And I immediately thought, oh, you've seen my wife cook. And sorry, that was just wrong. That was wrong. I tell you, the men's group, that got a huge laugh. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying. No, she's not going to listen to a 4.5-hour CD collection of me. Okay. There's one thing I've learned in having a happy marriage in 30 years. You don't bring this stuff home, okay? But what we did was we started producing videos for this company of people who had purchased the grill and just wanted to tell everybody it was a great grill. But we started producing where Kamado was paying us cash money, a check, but real money, to produce videos, professional videos, that looked like they weren't professional videos. But they took what Pear and I knew about selling, and they took, a friend of mine was into video, I do a little bit of video, and back then, you know, it was early Mac stuff, you know, everybody was into video and stuff. And so we were producing what a professional commercial Tom designed to look like Billy Bob.
This, hey, this is the best grill I ever had, right here. This here, got shot this thing up 10 minutes.
And let me tell you, these grills were great. You could put a little thing of charcoal in there, fire up that charcoal. 10 minutes later, it would be at 900 degrees inside the grill. They were amazing grills. But people didn't want Kamado Commando to come on and tell you they're great grills because they're the seller, right? They wanted you to come on. They wanted to hear you say it. And so we became, and this is what YouTube has become. Do you know so much of what is on? We went to work for another organization, I don't know, maybe you've heard of them, called Husqvarna. Oh, you mean the big lawn track? Yeah. Who understood the same thing. Let me tell you, product placement, how we sell things is so very important. We've got to connect. We've got to have intentional sales, intentional connection, and we've got to have connection with direction. Now here's what we're going to do. I don't know about you, but I have to pee. Okay? I know that's not spiritual. I have to pee it. I have to pee it. You're welcome to join me. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a...
Can I do a quick pee story?
No, you can't. But you can when you come back.
Cause... Okay, it was almost a pee story.
Okay, it was almost a pee story.
Okay.
Okay,
this is good.
Here, just take that off.
Oh, we don't want this recorded for insurance. Okay, this is just quick because I got here late and, of course, I had the same urge, and so I went to the restrooms, and there's restrooms right down here at the end, and I looked, and okay, there's a woman, and I just, you know, went in the other side.
Oh, no, don't.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's so many women at this convention, they have reduced the number of men's restrooms by about 25%, I'm guessing. And I walked in there, and it's like, something doesn't look right in here. It's all stalls, my friend. And I just got out of there because I could hear somebody shuffling in the back. And before, you know, they thought, you know, what, is this have California values already come to Florida? No, I got out of there. And so I just want to just warn you, do not follow in my footsteps.
I'll use this microphone. Keep that pin down. All right. Okay, we're going to take 5 minutes, okay? 5 minutes and rush back, okay? So if you have to go, let's go now. I will lead the way. And
just walk 3 miles.
Yeah. Up to a Texaco.
And don't use the bushes on the way.
That's so far down, by the time I get back, I've got to go again. All right. Where are we at on the 5-minute count, brother? Okay. Good. Let's just give just a second. I see we got a couple of empty seats. I know Mike had to run to his room. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Oh, awesome.
But you have to forgive the plug. I tried to borrow a direct box from the $97 to borrow a direct box.
Oh.
You can buy one for $9.95. So yes, it works there.
All right.
So we had to. Are you going to do something with that here?
Oh, I'll probably throw some things in.
Let's have a little fun here first. Paul, would you stand in front of the blue screen, please?
In front of the blue screen.
Take out a 3x5 card.
Is this the public shaming I've already been waiting for?
Take out a 3x5 card. Write down, what do we know about Paul? What do we don't say anything, Paul.
This is a waste of a good card here.
Yeah, just it's okay. Write down what you know about Paul. What you think? Let's start with age. Is he married or single? Keep your ring hand in your pocket there, so you don't give it away either way. Age, married or single? Let's go. Church background. Let's guess.
Did you have to go through this yourself?
Yeah, well, I don't have to. That's the nice thing when,
go, okay.
when your name's
I
on the seminar.
The only one changed here today.
let's predict from your voice where you're from, where he's from, where he's living. What kind of car, Jeep, van, truck, whatever he might drive. How many kids he has. And if he has children, if he's married, okay, and or maybe he doesn't have children if he's married. So we're going to do that, okay? All right. What do you think?
64, married, Baptist,
Maryland. Okay, hang on. I'm going to see if she wins. I'm writing down the notes.
Okay, I'm talking like this. This is my voice.
Here we go.
No, that was someone else's voice. I'm sorry.
I wish you would use your own voice and not be using other people's dialect.
All right. Let's go over here.
I'm 62, married, Presbyterian, Georgia, a Prius.
Kids, okay. Family.
Things are starting to move the right direction around here. Thank you for the jab. Go big.
He's married, he's tall, friendly, 2 children, dark pickup truck Ford, and he's a bastard.
Okay. Well, let's see. I miss you guys.
I had 65 married.
Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Aldrich.
Those are all true.